There was a fellow who just recently broke the brick-breaking record with his hand.
But that was me.
Yeah, Larry is the guy with the big hand over the banana shop. They had to stop you after 2,600 bricks.
27 times.
27.
127
times.
Yeah, I forgot because I was using my head there toward the end.
Right, you were doing it to raise money for a charitable cause, however, weren't you?
Yeah, I was. That's right.
What was the cause? Could you come up?
For the Idiots Fund.
The Idiots Fund.
Yeah, the Idiots Fund.
I see.
I'm not an idiot myself.
And, talk to us here.
Let me through the door.
Come on.
Get
the door, please.
Only get to use the door once or twice per show, you know.
Excuse me. You've got a garbage can on your foot.
Oh, yeah. No, that's a garbage masher.
Oh, there.
All right, there we go. I used that to mash up the garbage, you know.
Good. How many bricks can a brick breaker break when a brick breaker breaks a few bricks? Yes.
Boy, that's a brick. Well, a fella like myself, you know. I prefer to take the bricks in their natural state when they're in a building, you know.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of these kind of sissy, faggy guys, they like to break them when they're out of the buildings. But I do it on the whole buildings. Bam! Like that, and a brick breaks and a whole building comes down.
You're the guy who was responsible for breaking the bank just last week, weren't you?
Yeah, that's me.
Is that the one at Monte Carlo?
No, that's my name.
Oh.
Monte Carlo.
Monte Carlo. You do this act, then?
Yeah.
You're involved in
it? I'm not acting, no.
No?
No, this is real.
Oh.
It was a chemical pig exchange bank, I believe it was.
Monty, I wonder if you could answer a question here for me, since you're an expert on this.
Okay.
Monty.
Prof.
What do you guys call or think about a guy who's a strike-breaking, a brick-breaking strike?
We would think that he had struck out, certainly, in the eyes of his fellow workers.
Workers?
Workers, yeah.
Excuse me.
I didn't want to reveal to you they're my working-class background.
Yes, right.
I think you're leaking.
Oh.
Could you stand over there next to that bucket?
Here.
Good. Carol, that's better.
Keep him off mic for a while, would you? It's like keeping him
off
speed.
Mike?
Yeah.
Mike, I'm going to get you.
Yeah, he's leaking over there. That's all right. Just don't let him.
Back at my hotel, I listened to Mark Maron's interview with Naomi Klein, one of my favorite people.
I think there is a whole kind of crowd of progressives that kind of thrive on hopelessness. Do you believe that to be true? That they're sort of like, ugh, I knew it was bad, but it's just so bad.
I think it's increasing.
Mm.
And I see it around climate change a fair bit, right?
Sure,
like there's definitely more of a just kind of wallowing in the doom school.
Right.
I mean, and there's lots to be very, very frightened about and concerned about. I mean, I'm not a sunny optimist by any means.
No, I didn't. I wasn't.
Yeah. But I guess I just sort of feel like I don't really understand. I completely understand feeling hopeless.
Yeah.
And I completely understand feeling doomy.
Yeah.
I don't totally understand the motivation to tell everyone about it because it is contagious, right?
Sure.
Like we are social beings. So like, you know, if we spread an optimistic message, if we convince other people that there is something that we can do and then they do it, that has an effect on the world, right? We change each other. And if you go around and you have a big platform and you just tell people there's no hope, it becomes a bit of a self-fulfilling prophecy.
And read Tom Robbins' Fierce Influence. 2 days later, in Denver Airport, I'm still reading this novel when a man walks by and then stops and asks what I'm reading. I show him the book. He seems unfamiliar with Robbins. He says, "You look like a genius, so I had to know what you're reading." He learns that and moves away. Nobody benefits from such labels. Had reservations at Barolo Grill with low expectations and was blown away. Their mushroom soufflé was one of the best things I've ever eaten. Soufflé de fromaggio, porcini mushrooms, soufflé, crispy hen of the woods mushrooms, parmigiana reggiano, fonduta, balsamic cipollino, onion, truffle puree. And my, was it ever good. I had looked forward to their halibut, but it swam away, so I went with the pork.
Because of us, it's morning in America.
Breakfast, honey?
Thanks. Hey, is this real pork?
Because of us, people in the Great Plains are just plain doing things. Little things, like taking money from machines.
Hey, stop, kid. I'm not a machine.
Because of us, they're roasting East Coast marshmallows on the West Coast.
Wow, these taste like pork.
We're the people of U.S. Plus. Guess what we do?
Chemistry?
Transportation?
Pork?
Kind of. U.S. Plus. We own the idea of America.
I was once again stunned. The number of pork meals I've had in North America is close to zero. In Tokyo, I could daily eat tonkatsu. That is a tribute to pigs. A server tells me they are on the verge of getting a Michelin star. They really deserve it. I go back to death, but the bartender from the previous night is gone. I didn't write down the ingredients of the off-menu drink he made me. Alas, the one recipe I needed when I wasn't endangering my ankles, I constantly found Denver delightful. Drunks in liquor stores were polite. I could walk by a group of big, drunk men of various colors late at night in an area I'm told is dangerous and not feel threatened. So, not being threatened is good. I'm Mr. Tourist. I'm here to get the touristy best of the city, from an art-centric stance, eh? From the hired ride, it is a delightful city. Just as I discovered Chicago with cousin Alicia in 2007, this was a wonderful American city to discover. At least, at this point in time, I'm told I magically experienced a spell of good weather. Is the politeness I experience from the citizens and even visitors to Denver part of what you need to be for each other to survive the extremes of nasty Denver climate? Thanks, Denver, for showing me how a city can shine. Thanks, Meow Wolf, for introducing me to Denver. Wednesday was devoted to art. Meow Wolf, good prep for that. After the massive scrambled egg dish and jelly, this time with fruit instead of potatoes, I tell my server Denver reminds me of Vancouver. He says another customer, also from Vancouver, had told him that recently. It's now time to head over to the Denver Art Gallery and a fine collection of architecture called the Art Complex. The building is much bigger than the collections inside, which are smaller and intimate. A section devoted to African art reminds me of all the African art I encountered on my last trip to Paris in 2017. There is a sign on the wall. In Africa, art for art's sake does not exist. All art is social.
The holiday season isn't a moment too soon to send your favorite candidate a gift he'll really eat up in the year to come, as Swiss Mint Associates present Deposed Heads of 1979, sculpted from fine 0.999 pure hot chocolate. These instructional busts include President for Life, Idi Amin, and Emperor for a Day, Bokassa I, from darkest chocolate Africa. Then there's Anastasio Somoza, Carlos Humberto Romero, Noor Mohammed Taraki, Cambodia's Pol Pot, Ali Bhutto, and Park Chung-hee. Well, who would have thought so many heads would roll? We did, and we rolled them in chocolate for you. And if you act now, like the people of Iran, you can try and get the Shah's head as a bonus extra. Don't let your Nixon head get lonely. Subscribe now to Deposed Heads of 1979, delivered to your pick of the presidential pack of candidates. Warning, heads may swell if too much power is applied.
There was an exhibit about lowriders. Despite growing up in L.A., I knew them only from the song by War. there is an area where kids could make their own paper cars and a little table where they could race them. Reminds me of this scene in the Tom Robbins novel I'm now reading. The main character, Switters, makes paper boats and races them against the boats made by some art students at Pike Place Market. Always a good idea to give kids something to do at a museum. The skateboards adorned with First Nations art remind me of skateboards similarly arted up in Vancouver Museum of Anthropology. When you've been to a lot of museums and art galleries over the years, you tend to encounter similar art. After wolfing down the art statement that is Convergence Station yesterday, I'm in serious art mode today. There's a lot of fine images to dive into here. Lunch at Ponte, the restaurant at the art gallery. The scallops looked so good on the website menu, but were rather disappointing in real life. Served on a bed of vegetables that detracted rather than enhanced the scallops. Then it's off to the Botanic Gardens. Other cities have botanical gardens. Denver just has botanique. French influence? I buy my ticket and head for the art galleries within the gardens. Ah, more art. Then, as I prepare to enter the gardens themselves, I look for my hat and shades. They're not in my bag. I tell a worker, and she tells me to check the lost and found. Should have done that, but couldn't recall where I left them. I call the restaurant, but they're not there. If I'd left them in the lift, they'd have my phone number. They would have called, surely. I go back to my hotel to avoid the sun.
I study nuclear science. I love my classes. I got a crazy teacher. He wears dark glasses. Things are going great, and they're only getting better. I'm doing all right, getting good grades. The future's so bright.
Later, dinner at Ronin. The Agnes tofu isn't bad. The gyoza is far inferior to my wife's gyoza. Then it's back to Barolo Grill. Will their mushroom souffle be as good as it was yesterday? Even though the grill didn't get its hope for a Michelin star today, it's still worth going to Denver for. Thursday, it's back to Meow Wolf. This time I pay $3 for a Q-Pass card. By booping various stations around Convergence Station, I'm supposed to unravel a mystery about the missing founders of the station. The mystery at the center of Omega Mart was much more involving, and overall, Omega Mart was just more interesting. I found some areas in Convergence Station I hadn't seen on Tuesday, but was none the better for it. I contemplated taking the train to the airport. I had heard that Union Station was quite a spectacular bit of architecture. It was okay. I couldn't find the place to buy tickets for the airport, and then gave up on the idea of the train. Lift rides to the airport quite reasonable. I have lots of time before my 6 o'clock flight, which ends up not departing till 7:15. Vino Volo, the wine bar I discovered at YVR, also has an outlet in the Denver airport. While I sampled a flight of bubblies in Vancouver, I went with a cider in Denver. The chicken pesto flatbread, like many a meal in this country, is just too much food, but the cider is delicious. Unlike Washington State, where I have never had a drinkable cider, every cider in Denver has been excellent. Denver also reminds me of Washington, the sheer number of freaks. It's always pleasant to be among peers. Not at all surprising that Colorado and Washington were the first two states to legalize cannabis. I'll admit I knew next to nothing about Colorado or Denver, but I liked what I saw and ate. Back in Vancouver, I called the lost and found at the Botanic Gardens. They did indeed have my hat and shades, but were not about to send them back to me, alas. One pleasant effect of travel to new places is that they shine a light on where you live when you return. There's never enough light.
Poppers, pineapples, palumbras, pizzas. Armenian Gardens. Thanks, Juggernaut, no Leviathan. Nick Swell.
Four.
This is George Tire Biter Camden N200R. I want to order pizza to go and no anchovies. What? Oh, man, nobody will come up here at all.
Adam 1-3's incipient negritude will come as a pleasant surprise to his honorary aquarium parents, Ralph Bunch and Ida Lupino.
Yeah, I'll bet it will.
In other news, final steps was taken in or near Washington to secure the merger of the U.S. government with TMZ General Corp.
Enough.
This former zinc bushing...